107.9.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a hey, big party, man.
Yeah, I brother, dig it.
Stop
it.
Right on. Hey, man, what's up?
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
Good morning, Jacksonville. Welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9 this wonderful Saturday morning. I am your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, president of First Thursday Jacksonville. Jacksonville, can't speak this morning, it's this donut I was eating, and president of Harvest Intervention Services in the studio, joined by Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League. Welcome back, good to see you in the studio, and joining us on the line from Seattle is Larry Williams, founder and CEO of First Thursday Jacksonville and Anchor Global Business Consulting. Welcome everyone, good morning, Dr. Danforth.
Good morning. It's good to be back. You know, I had an opportunity to fly out to California pretty much on a good note. But then, of course, we had a homegoing celebration for my former colleague, John Mack, who served as president of the Los Angeles Urban League over 40 years. And I tell you, it was just so great to hear so many people say so many nice things about a person, especially after they, you know, especially after they're gone. So it's good to be back. And I know, Larry, you're not back yet.
No, I'm not back yet. But happy Saturday, team, and happy Saturday, Jacksonville. Good morning, Duval.
Duval.
Yes, sir. It's great to be back and on the air again and talking about things, share some information about what's going on Jacksonville and beyond. And Doc, I know you enjoyed your trip out to the Californias, and you said that you had an opportunity to hear my good friend Irvin Johnson.
Magic Johnson, yes. Irvin Magic, yes.
Yeah, it's Irvin to me. I know him as Irvin, so you guys know him as Matt. But, he's a great business person, and I know him quite well. But anyways, it was good to start out this weekend, there's a lot going on in Jacksonville, and we want to talk about a lot of those things, especially the council members that were appointed by Governor Rick Scott this past week to fill the positions of the suspended council members Reggie Brown and Katrina Brown, no relation. So what's going on with that, Doc and Jarmin, with those appointments? I understand that one of the appointees, Terrence Freeman, is being challenged by a local Jacksonville resident from District 10, and there's some skillet is hot again around City Hall. What's going on?
Yes, according to the resident of District 10 who filed a petition, that she claims that Terrence Freeman was not a resident of District 10. During the time period where they were receiving the applications, and the state website required all potential candidates to certify that they were residents of the district. But, even with that being stated on the website, they removed or changed that language from the website. and it allowed Freeman to qualify.
That's well, what the there's are. Also the there's an attorney or a law firm that's filed a lawsuit regarding that appointment also. So that's going to be interesting as it plays out. And you know, it's always interesting to see these political appointments and the you know, the how they are folks are appointed and you know the politics behind these appointments. So
right.
it was. Rather interesting to me to see a Republican report appointed to a basically a Democratic district. So we'll see how that plays out.
Yes, and the resident in District 10 who filed the petition actually applied, you know, to be to sit on the city council as well, and she is legitimately a resident of District 10. But again, they. Change the language, you know, is that lawful or isn't it, Dr. Danford? If the website, state website says that they have to, you know, certify that they live in the area, I think that's the question that residents want an answer to. Is it lawful to for him to have this position if he was not legally a resident of the district?
Well, it depends on who it is. I tell you that the laws are manipulated to,
yes.
you know, and... let me say, the candidate, Mr. Freeman, is a very good guy, but you got to realize that his politics. He is a Republican. He's a African American Republican. Nothing's wrong with that. And he is now representing a predominantly Democratic district, and they historically had an African American in that seat. So technically, you're supposed to live in a district. If you are running in a district, what they will probably say that these were circumstances beyond their control,
mm-hmm.
and that you know they made an appointment and they made two appointments. One over our friend at Clara White District is that
eight?
Yes. District 8. So Jacoby is she's been appointed. She's matter of fact, I attended the installation and they. The both will do well if they have an opportunity, but I don't know exactly how much they can do in the next few months because each of them, if they remain in there, will have to run for that seat. So, again, it will play out, and we'll see what happens. But we want to make certain that the people in those communities, in those districts, are being served. That's what's really important.
So
yeah,
how,
but also you know that's important. But we also need to make sure that folks are playing by the same rules.
Yes.
I mean, you know, you don't change a rule overnight just to accommodate an appointment. And we start playing politics and tricks with politics, then we would get into a bag that you know that's playing out on the national level. So, anyways, that's all good and fine. And you know, we know that those appointments are going to be upheld. Basically, and as Doc pointed out, it's a short time, but those people in the district, those constituents who are being served are the ones who are, you know, whose lives are being played with, and I don't really appreciate that.
So
let's
now that they're...
on, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, we'll move on from that
yeah,
one.
let's move on, because, we just wanted to make sure that the people in those residents and folks that... you know, care about those districts, you know, are aware of what's going on and why things are happening the way that they are. I'm sure most people are asking the same questions that we are about the district appointments. And you know, it's just all of a sudden those appointments came out of nowhere. So
yes.
Folks seem to be pretty comfortable with the Jacoby Pittman, the person that was appointed to fill Katrina Brown's spot. So let's see what they do to give them the opportunity to participate and see how it shakes up. You know, again, this is Praise 107.9 FM, and if you're listening, you can always call in at 904-296-2251. And I believe we have a special guest that's going to be coming on around 8:30, Dr. Danford.
Yes, Dr. Danford, you mentioned off the air that we may have Dr. Diane Green.
Yes, with the new superintendent. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Calling in to say hello to our listeners and the residents of Jacksonville. So that should be around 8:30 this morning. But speaking of lawful or unlawful, we were talking about the city council appointment. What about the body cameras with the police force?
Okay.
And the laws and the body cameras that are now going to be pushed back to 2019?
Well, I thought, let me say this, having been involved somewhat in this process, we were under the impression that the cameras would be available for police use by now, this mm-hmm. summer. And, of course, the sheriff announced that they will delay it until 2019. Now, some people tend to think that politics has quite a bit to do with it. And keep in mind, our listeners, that we're coming up on some very, 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 very important elections this year. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so we have the election for the Congress folk in August, Al Lawson and former Mayor Alvin Brown. And then, of course, in the fall, we have Governor Rick Scott attempting to unseat long-term Senator Bill Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, of course, soon as January hits, we've coming up with the elections here in Jacksonville. The mayor is up for re-election. Okay. Several city council people are for re-election, so it's going to be a critical year, and I hope that we can get this body camera situation resolved, get them on the police officers, and so we can put that to bed rather than extending it down to election time.
Right, and only 200 police officers will wear those body cameras at first, and I'm not sure how many that is in comparison to how many on the force. But
well, there's still some disagreement and pushback, certainly from the police. I recall when former Sheriff Glover had police officers to place their name on the police cars.
Mm-hmm.
Now that was a really big deal, and they pushed back on it. They did not like that. I don't know if the police officers are really interested in these body cameras.
All right.
Well,
we're going to have to cut. We're going to have to finish talking. Yeah, we're going to have to finish talking about that at the next segment. We're going to take a break, listen to some music, and remember, tune in to hear from Dr. Diane Green, who will be calling in this morning around 8:30. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9.
The atmosphere is changing. Nothing stays the same. Heaven is waiting for the mention of the name. The Spirit is moving, burning like a flame, healing the broken by the one we proclaim. Raise it up, fill the sky. Chains will fall, mountains move, we lift him high. Speak the name above all other names. Speak the name the wind and waves obey. All of heaven's coming down, fill the earth with the sound. Of shame, miracles unfolding at the mention of the name. Now darkness is fleeing, mercy raining down, healing waters flowing as our lips make the we
All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm your co-host, Jarmin Leitner, in the studio this morning with Dr. Danford. And joining us on the line from Seattle is Larry Williams. And we thank you all for listening and tuning in. We were talking about the body cameras before we segued out of the first segment. For 2019 is when we're going to get those body cameras. And Larry, you had another comment about that.
Yeah, thanks, Jarmin. And for our listeners, just a quick reminder that we will have, we're expecting the new superintendent, Dr. Diane Green, Green with an E, to be calling in to the show here at around 8:30 this morning. So stay tuned, and we hope that we'll be able to hear from the new superintendent about what's going on at the district and what some of her plans are as she takes the helm of the, I think it's one of the larger school districts in the state of Florida. And, you know, we may not grill her as much as we want, but we'll definitely ask her some questions and see how she handles it. Back on the body cameras, you know, Doc and Jarmin, cameras have been introduced in many cities throughout the United States here as in the past year, and we were anxiously anticipating the introduction of those to the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office here this year. And the sheriff announced recently that they've decided not to use cameras this year and are anticipating starting 200 of the officers using the cameras in 2019. So it'll be interesting. One of the things that with those body cameras, you know, it's one thing to have the cameras, is another thing to turn them off. You know, and when you turn them on and when you turn them off, we've had instances here in Seattle where the cameras, the body cameras weren't used, and ironically, they are always not used when the officer has a challenge in the community. So it's not just enough to get those cameras on the patrolman, but it's also, you know, the training and the knowledge of knowing when and how to use those cameras. And when in my education is that the cameras, whenever an officer is on duty or making a call, the camera comes on and it stays on until that is completed. But many officers aren't following through with that. So we need to make sure that we hold the sheriff and the department accountable for, you know, the proper use of the body cameras and not just the fact that they are wearing them.
Now, Larry, you think that once they start wearing the body cameras, what about the officers that write those tickets to blacks while they're walking? You think they'll have their body cameras on when they write those tickets?
Well, when you come in contact with a citizen, you're supposed to turn the camera on, Doc. So it that should be there. And again, making sure that we're holding the officers accountable for, you know, the proper usage of the cameras. If there's no need in investing that type of money, we're talking millions of dollars in this experiment that they have already, taken on. But we need to make sure that we're, as citizens, holding the officers and JSO accountable. And that's Sheriff Williams' job, is to make sure that those things are adhered to and taxpayer dollars aren't being wasted.
Yeah, so it sounds like the protocol is for them to turn it on as soon as they come in contact with the citizen, but what we're finding out is that that's not necessarily happening if it's a challenging situation for the police officer. They're turning it off, or either not turning it on at all.
Right. Well, the cameras are designed to help protect the police officers as well. I mean, you know, if they're making legitimate stops and they shouldn't have a problem turning the cameras on. So we'll see how it plays out. We have until January, I believe, that when they're supposed to start. So we'll see how it plays out. Let's give them an opportunity, but also making sure that we hold them accountable as once the cameras are purchased and they start using them. I would hope that since they delayed the camera usage until 2019 that they would have come online with all the officers. But we'll see how it plays out.
But we don't have to wait as residents on the police to turn their body cameras on. If we have phones, we can utilize our own cameras to, you know, to protect us.
Yeah, you really will get arrested.
Is that unlawful to use your own camera when the police?
Well, I want to know if the cameras are going to be utilized by the school security armed guards.
Oh, the school safety, assistants.
Are they going to have cameras? Make certain that they're not in the closet.
That would be nice. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. See what's going on in the school.
That's not nice. I don't think we're going to have to worry about that too much, because as I understand that only 24 of the school safety assistants will be ready for the start of the Duval classes in next month. So,
Like a serious job, Larry, for $12.50 an hour. I mean,
wow!
And you're wearing a gun, and you're protecting children and teachers.
Well,
and
only 24
staff.
Out of 107. Like, where will those 24 be placed? Like, what's the priority? Which schools? You know, how are they
probably the elementary schools? I would think.
Are they the ones that are getting access to the guns, though? The elementary school students.
Well, I'm kind of with Doc on this one, because, you know, you're talking about the school safety assistants. I didn't know that they would be carrying guns. I mean, have they been trained?
Yes, we've talked.
What's the deal?
Yes.
We had a police officer in Parkland that was an actual police officer who had years' experience. And when the challenge came for him to do his job, he was running away from it. So, you know, what are these folks that with minimal training and carrying a gun? I mean, I'm serious. This is a safety issue that could really get out of hand. That's not safety to me. That's anti-safety. And I hope that these folks are taking this more serious than just trying to, justify a budget, by placing these underpaid safety assistants in these schools.
Right. And excuse me. So the safety assistants, again, like we said, they do have minimal training in comparison to police officers. So we definitely need to consider, this decision for these school safety assistants to be in the school, as well as, you know, some states have armed the teachers this year with weapons. So we just have to stay prayerful, about the things that are going on.
Well, this would be an opportunity for individuals to get into the enforcement business, you know. So I would encourage our listeners, if you know of individuals with the skill sets, to become a safety officer, and they can pass the drug test. Make certain that you refer them over there to the school board, so they'll have more candidates to choose from.
Right.
Absolutely. And only those that are serious about it and can meet the qualifications need apply, because I don't want my kids being around safety assistants who are not properly trained or might have some other mental health problems. You know, again,
are they going to go through a psychological eval? Prior
I'm a proponent for not having more guns in the schools, period. And now it seems like we're talking about adding more guns with people who are not qualified to utilize them.
Yes, and this is a position.
Is that an anomaly?
Absolutely.
And this position is very serious. Like you said, you're talking about the safety of the students and the staff, and you have to be aware. It's not one of those jobs where you can just, sit and text message, and not pay attention to what's going on in the surroundings. So you have to be on guard. I guess that's the term, to be on guard. You know that term, don't you, Dr. Danford?
We'll have the school superintendent on for soon, so we hope that we can get some clarification about that and what her plans are for the district as we move forward in this 2018-19 school year. So it's going to be very important, and especially as it relates to our underperforming schools. She has a lot of things to deal with coming in, and she won't have much of a honeymoon period, because folks want some immediate results.
Well, this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. Continue to tune in, and we'll be back.
Honeymoon.
Mm-hmm. is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know that it was said by God. Oh, 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 Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I prove you more and more. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, my precious Jesus, I thank you for the grace to trust you. Just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, oh my, just to know that it was said by God. Oh, so Daddy, Daddy, how I trust. Thank you for the grace to trust you more.
Ooh. All right. Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour. Thank you, Lord, yes, for the grace to trust you even more. This is Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host this morning in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford. And joining us on the line from Seattle is Larry Williams. And we're talking about what's going on in Jacksonville and some of the things that are coming up in the new school year. So we were talking about the safety assistance jobs, and I know that there are other job opportunities if our listeners are looking for employment. Amazon is still hiring, and excuse me, they're considered to be one of the major employers. They actually have over 3,000 people employed. And did you know, Dr. Danford, that they have 4 centers in Jacksonville?
No, I did not know that. I'm saying, but they're expanding all over the world.
Yes.
I mean,
they're looking at other states for their primary locations.
Well, they're still considering moving their headquarters to the Atlanta area. And, of course, my cousin is the mayor up there at outside of Lithonia, and they're in the hunt.
Okay.
So even if they don't get it and it goes to another part of Atlanta, it will still benefit that small city there.
Well, they have a location on 103rd. For those who didn't know, there's one north Jacksonville off Cabot Commerce Circle, and then of course the one in Pecan Park in Northwest Jacksonville, and there's one on Bulls Bay Highway on the west side. And it's reported that, you know, they have whatever you need. Just go to their website and you can order it. So you can find it on Amazon.
Or you can go over to IKEA. Have you been in IKEA?
We have. We've been in IKEA. IKEA's a big warehouse to try to maneuver through. So, yeah, they have a lot of things as well.
Yeah.
So
well, you know, I would hope that a lot of these IKEAs and Amazon would start advertising on the radio station. It would help us out a great deal. But anyways, that's another deal. I understand also that the district, the developers of the district have closed their deals on the land purchase to start building their little mini city over there and on the South Bank. And that should be some jobs.
Yes,
also
more jobs.
In the construction business and hopefully some contracting opportunities for some minority businesses. So it'll be interesting to see how
well, this is a, Larry, no, wait, back up now. This is a private development now, so they would not fall under. Well, even if it's, even if, well, even if it were a city project, it doesn't mean that any minority is going to participate if you deal with the record.
Right, I understand that, but, you know, nothing happens until we put our face out there and make sure that we are holding these folks accountable and making sure that they know that there are minority businesses out here that are willing and able to do some of this work on this major project that they're going to undertake. And as long as there's city dollars are being used, we should be having an opportunity to participate. Not saying that they will, but saying that they should.
Well, we can always call Michael Montz. He's the go-to guy over there under Peter Rummel. So let's give them a call and see if there's going to be some minority participation.
Absolutely. That's a great idea. So let's put that on the docket for next week, and then we'll report back here next Saturday to see what they say.
Okay. Now, this particular development is going to be, I guess, you know, with apartments and shops. So is it going to be more of a kind of an entertainment district?
No, the entertainment district is going, that's Sean Kahn's piece.
Okay.
I understand the little that I know on the west side of the stadium, that will be the entertainment district. This project, Elements, is on the South Bank, which is over near the school board building. Mm-hmm. And there's been talk that maybe they need to sell the school board bill, get them off the river, and use that area for the development. Of course, they built a hotel next door, so I would suspect that you're going to have quite a bit of housing, businesses, you know. It's supposed to be a unique development, but let's talk about what we can get over in the hood, you know, perhaps starting right there on Kings Road and Myrtle Avenue. Larry, you know, we've got something that we're trying to do, the gateway to Edward Waters College, so we want to develop that area for the community, and we're looking for support, you know, from the city, from the state, from entrepreneurs, from the philanthropy community. So you'll hear more about that going forward, but we're excited about being in a position where we can help the community and leave the community with something that's going to help sustain that community.
Absolutely. And you know, with opportunities like this, like that you're talking about, Doc, and this deal with the Elements company, you know, this started back in 2014, I understand, and it's been, that's been 4 years in the making, and, you know, it will be, it is saying that it will house another hotel, the AC Hotel by Marriott is supposed to be there, and so that's going to be interesting. They're supposed to have restaurants and bars and things, so it will be a complement and somewhat of a competition to the entertainment district, depending on what side of the river you want to be on.
Yes, so that is anticipated to break ground soon.
What side of the river? What about what side of the railroad track you want it to be?
So do they have an anticipated date for groundbreaking for this particular development?
Hey, Doc, that's for us. That's the railroad track. They're dealing with the river.
Okay.
So, All right, so you can take a boat across the river. You know, you got to take your chances running across the railroad track. But anyway, that's in the news, and it's happening, and we'll see how it plays out. We're going to definitely start making some calls over there and seeing, you know, if they plan to use some minority contractors and hire some minority folks as they complete this project. So it'll be interesting as we move forward.
Yes, and Larry, what's going on a national level? Trump stays in.
What's not going on a national level? I mean, you know, it's an amazing thing that, you know, as we talk about the things, politics on the local level, and everybody, folks have always told me that politics are all local, but, you know, it's interesting to see President Trump as he continues his voyage, you know, with NATO and also over in London and dealing with the Queen and a lot of other things. You know, it's just an interesting conundrum to see how folks and especially you know, the politics on a national level and how President Trump is addressing and. You know, he has a unique style about what he's doing, and it seems to irritate almost everyone who he comes in contact with. I understand that this weekend that he's spending the weekend in Scotland. Is that right? In Scotland? Mm-hmm. And
yes, you know, he's right. He's at his resort.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's. I guess it's okay that you can fly on Air Force One to your resort, and of course. I don't know if the taxpayers will pick up the bill at the resort. I just don't know.
Yeah.
But
there
does not seem to be any kind of conflict of interest when certain people, you know.
Yes.
It's not just in the White House. It's all over. I mean, we can talk local. It really depends on who it is. I mean.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we've had enough indictments. I know that. You know, every time I turn around, you know, an African-American is being brought before, you know, the court and the jury and, you know, about some irregularity. And, you know, we can think back to some of the funds that developers have received from the city. You know, you think back to the shipyards. $27 million just went through the hands or whatever. Nothing, you know, but we find, you know, we really discouraging people from running for office because you're supposed to be held to a high standard and you should be. But there's no equality, no equity as it relates mm-hmm. to that. So.
And you're right, Doc. It seems like selective. Judgment when it comes to, you know, dealing with these things. And, you know, you would always think that everything even playing field, but in actuality, it's not. And, you know, we have the Entrepreneur Corner that's coming up in the next segment. And I want to make sure that those folks that are listening, and if you have a business or you have an event that's coming up, that call in at 296-2251. 296-2251 and let us know what you're doing and how you're doing, you know, as far as the business is concerned. It's an opportunity to get the message out about what's going on in Jacksonville from a business perspective. And, you know, we need that. We need to have stronger neighborhood businesses and urban businesses are very important to, you know, leveling the playing field, so to speak, as we move forward, you know, in this city of Jacksonville.
Yes, and in order for the residents to know the small businesses are out there, you can call in again at 296-2251 at the next segment. And this is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. We'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
Hello? Gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Nice. Oh yeah, I'm a music major.
With tears rolling.
Welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner, your co-host in the studio with Dr. Richard Danford. And joining us on the line is Larry Williams out in Seattle. And we also want to welcome our new superintendent of DCPS, Duval County Public Schools, Dr. Diane Green. Welcome and good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, we thank you so much for calling in. We just wanted our listeners to hear your voice and for you to let them know some of the things that they may be expecting for this upcoming school year. And we wanted to start off by what was in the news about the safety assistance.
Yes, we, as you know, the tragedy that happened last year in February in Parkland sparked a statewide as well as a national conversation on school safety. And the legislators passed a law that required us to have an armed, whether it's a safety assistant or a school resource officer, individual in every school. And we are working very diligently to start that process with training our new school safety assistants. The first class started on July 9th.
Okay.
That class will had 24 individuals mm-hmm. moving forward, and hopefully they will be ready to start in our schools come August 3rd.
Okay. All right.
Dr. Green, how many safety assistants will you, as the district, trying to hire?
106.
Okay. And are you still accepting applications for those positions?
Yes, we are still accepting applications. We had over 350 people apply. It is a very arduous process. So along the way, we've had applicants withdraw, or they did not meet they didn't pass the psychological, or they didn't pass the other assessments that are in place prior to moving forward. And so we will continue a rolling application process until we hire 106 safety assistants.
So Dr. Okay,
how can people apply for those positions?
They would apply online through our employment services online through our website. The website gives them all the information that they need.
Yeah, Dr. Green, again, I want to welcome you to Jacksonville. We look forward to some great things happening here in Duval County, particularly around the challenge schools in some of our neighborhoods. We've been working extremely hard with every superintendent, to reduce the gap. What are your thoughts on as you move forward in terms of providing the resources necessary for these challenge schools to excel?
Well, we truly believe that every student can learn, and that is the bottom line premise that everyone must start with. And then we must collaborate and provide the resources, whether that is financial resources in the form of materials and supplies, as well as human resources. And it's very important for us to collaborate with outside organizations that want to provide support to our schools. And I think it's time that we come together and have a conversation about what is working, what is not working, and develop a plan that we're going to put the best strategies in those schools that will support those students. We are currently restructuring our turnaround office, that framework that provides support to our struggling schools. And part of that conversation will be, what are the other pieces that are missing or other pieces that are involved that maybe we need to strengthen that relationship between the school district and that organization providing support to those students?
That's absolutely what we're looking for. Yeah. And Dr. Green, you can count on us here, certainly at the radio station, but also at the Urban League and at First Thursday. And we're here to support your efforts. And if, you know, if we can be helpful in any way, we are ready and willing to step up, particularly around the conversations in terms of what is working and looking at community input as to what we feel should be done to help our struggling schools. So we look forward to working with you this year and years to come, such that people don't have to run to the other counties believing that the Duval County school system is not working. So we're going to help you make this one of the best systems, certainly in Florida and perhaps in the United States, okay?
And well, thank you. I look forward to that collaboration and that partnership.
Wishing you well and also extending that opportunity to you know, work with you. And if there's anything that you need, please let us know. If you know, we'd like to have you on regularly on the Empowerment Hour to get updates you know, about what's going on with the district and you know, again, allowing our listeners to be informed firsthand about what's going on with the school district and you know, particularly about the challenged schools. We have a lot of Title I kids in the urban districts that you know, aren't achieving the way that they should, and we hope that you'll address those, and we're more than happy to have dialogue conversation about how we can participate with you and also, you know, helping kids get an early start with their education.
Absolutely. I would be honored and humbled to come on periodically to share information and update about what's happening in our schools.
Hold up, Larry. I can't hear you. Hold up a second, Dr. Green.
Oh, no, I was just saying I would be honored to be on your show periodically to give updates about what's happening in our schools, and I look forward to this strong collaboration for the benefit of our students. Jacksonville is a beautiful city. Duval County Public Schools, they were one percentage point from an A, and from the 2 weeks that I've been here, the things that I'm seeing happening, I have no doubt in my mind we're going to be an A school district, and we're going to ensure that no matter what school a student attends, that they have access to a high-quality education.
All right. Very I know good. That the,
it's
the,
all of us to do that.
Yes, and I know that the listeners and residents Absolutely. Are excited to hear that, so we welcome you. Larry, you wanted to to share something?
No, I was just going to say, you know, the same thing, that, that again, we welcome you, and you know, as we as our relationship grows with the radio station here, and as you continue your job there, you've been in, on the job for 2 weeks, and have you had any surprises?
I'm laughing, Lara.
I think many people think I should have surprises, but I do try to remind people this isn't my first rodeo.
And Dr. Green.
I'm pleasantly surprised by my relationship, starting with the school board members.
Yes.
Has been very positive, and that's not a surprise, but it's the first step to a successful superintendency when you have a positive relationship working with your board members. And I just want to thank Chairwoman Wright and Vice Chair Hershey. They've been very welcoming, as well as the other board members. They are on board of becoming an A school district, and working together along with our community partners and our community in general, we're headed that way, and we can do it.
Well, I want to, Dr. Green, let me say a word about Chairwoman Paula Wright. What a great job she and the school board performed this past year, and let me say, we looked at all of the candidates, and they were all extremely qualified. It was a tough decision, but we feel strongly that the school board made the right decision by bringing you back to Jacksonville, particularly with your experience in the state. So we have we're not doubtful at all that you're going to do the job, and we want to assure you that you're going to have the support from the community.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Dr. Green, enjoy this honeymoon period.
There's always a honeymoon period and everything.
There's hard work that has to be done, and anything that is worth accomplishing comes with its trials and tribulations. But the main thing is to continue on the journey and continue moving forward.
Very good.
Yes. Well, we look forward to those collaborations and partnerships. And are you all open to new partnerships, or just moving forward with the established collaborations?
Well, this year I'd like to move forward with the established partnerships that are in place, and evaluate and become more familiar with